I told Doc Scoville it'd be a good idea for me not to sing a solo this evening. I told him I still wanted some people left to preach to, so anyways, he thought that was probably a good idea. And speaking of music, my wife is from a very musical family, and when people would meet me, they would ask me, "Oh, so what do you play?" I said, "The radio? I don't know. I mean, I didn't play anything." So, if you would take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3 tonight, I realize this is our midweek prayer service, but I realize that if certain things are true of us, the Lord may not hear us as we so desire Him to as well. And this is a text that the Lord has laid on my heart lately, been dealing with me on, and especially with our revival services all last week at the school, the Lord's just been dealing with me over and over again on certain things that I knew I needed to change in my life, and I'm grateful for that. If you found your place in Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that you would use me as your mouthpiece tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that I would not get in the way of anything you want to do in hearts and lives here this evening. And just give me the clarity of thought and the right words to speak. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As I was preparing for this message, I was studying some of the history of the city of Laodicea and wanted to learn more about it. And one thing I learned for sure is that it was an extremely wealthy city. They were known for many things, such as their stadiums, their theaters. They had monuments all over the place of various things. And they had extremely fertile soil. It was a great trade route, and they were an extremely wealthy city, and their banking and everything like that. And but one thing that I thought was rather interesting is, as great of a city as it was, in about 60 AD, the majority of the city was destroyed by an earthquake. And I believe between their pride and also their self-reliance, they refused to have help from the Roman Empire to rebuild the city. They were able to do it with the wealth within their own city to rebuild it. And so I thought that was kind of interesting, because usually when a place gets destroyed, they're more than happy to get assistance from others to help rebuild their city. Another thing I thought that was rather interesting about the city was that, as great of a city as it was and as wealthy as it was, they had an extremely poor water supply. They did not have a water supply of their own. They had to pipe in with aqueducts water from neighboring areas. And it's believed that there were two aqueducts that came into the city. It's believed that one came from Hierapolis and the other one from Colossae that supplied the water for the entire city. And so I believe the Lord is taking and putting His finger on a sore spot of this great city. They had everything materially, yet they understood that they had an extremely poor water system. And so I believe that he's really pointing out an area in their life that he's likening the Christians in the Church of Laodicea to their poor water supply, and that they're in need. And so the first thing I'd like to do is look at the requisites for being lukewarm. I see that to be lukewarm, it's an unconditioned state. I don't know about you, but I love living here in the South, but I don't think I'd care for it so much if it wasn't for air-conditioned buildings. I don't know about you, but I love air conditioning. I love having heat in the wintertime, and I love having air conditioning in the summertime. And if it wasn't for air conditioning, I'm not sure if I'd be so happy down here. But we see that lukewarm, it's neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm, and it's unconditioned. And I know that the Lord's likening this to something that is being put in the mouth. Okay, he's talking about spewing them out because they're lukewarm. But I don't know about you, but there's certain drinks I like to be hot, and there's certain drinks I like to be cold. And you give them to me lukewarm, and I'm probably gonna want to spit it out of my mouth too. Coffee, I like hot coffee, and I like iced coffee. I like it hot or cold, but I don't care for it so much lukewarm. And So I believe that this is an illustration that the Lord's giving us to their condition. They are unconditioned, their unconditioned state. And also, I would like to, in being unconditioned, if that's true that one aqueduct came from Hierapolis, it's believed that it came from a hot spring of Hierapolis, and then the other aqueduct came from a cold spring of Colossae. So that would give the picture of being neither hot nor cold, right? The two water supplies coming in, they had their source being hot and source being cold. By the time they made it to the city, it was lukewarm. Not only do I see the unconditioned state, but I see a uniform state as well. I know that there's similarities between the two, but I'd like to point out just two different aspects of it between the unconditioned state and the uniform state. The uniform state, you know, if I take this bottle of water, it has not been refrigerated, nor has it been heated. It's been sitting in this room. It's become like its surroundings. That's the part of the uniform state that I'd like to look at here. You have to do absolutely nothing to this water to make it lukewarm. You do absolutely nothing to it. You just sit it there, and it's going to become lukewarm on its own. If it started off hot or it started off cold, it will become lukewarm on its own. So I see that they have become like what was around them. And they were in a very wealthy city. The more I studied the city of Laodicea, I said, you know, that sounds a lot like what we call the world, which is our America. And I believe that the Christians in that church had become like those in the city. They had become like what was around them. We know that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Romans chapter 12 in verse 2 tells us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." I also wonder if, as I was studying Laodicea, and I was looking at a couple different passages where Laodicea is mentioned in the Bible, I realize this is speculation, but I almost wonder if Laodicea could have had an influence on Demas. One passage I find that the church at Laodicea is mentioned is Paul's letter to the Colossians. And in that same passage of Scripture, Demas is mentioned, and that is before he had forsaken Paul in the ministry. And you know, it just makes you wonder. Colossae and the Colossians and Laodicea, they were very close together. They were not far at all. And actually, Laodicea, I believe, was the closest city to Colossae. Not only do I look at the requisites for being lukewarm, but also I would like to look at the repulsiveness for being lukewarm. Let's read verses 17 and 18. "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." The first thing I'd like to look at in their repulsiveness for being lukewarm is they are unprofitable in their efforts. The Lord Jesus Christ says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." But yet he's telling them in verse 18 to buy gold from him that they may be rich. You know, and at the end of verse 17, that they're wretched, miserable, and poor. He's telling them, you have all this wealth, but you're spiritually bankrupt. That's what he's saying to them. You have all these material possessions, you have everything around you, but spiritually you're bankrupt. And I don't know why it is so difficult for us Christians to be able to receive great material blessings and why it's so difficult for us to keep our focus on the Lord at the same time. It's amazing how when things are going well, it looks like you have enough money in the bank and it seems like all your needs are being met. It's amazing how easy we can think, you know what? You know, we got this. You know, this is all right. And then we forget that we need to rely on the Lord in everything. You know, for without me, you can do nothing. And so, it's so easy for us to come to that position. And you may say, well, I've never been in that position, you know, where I've always had money in the bank and I've always had these things all around me and everything that I needed taken care of. Well, it doesn't take having great material blessings to be focused on that with your life either. We realize that being rich isn't necessary to be preoccupied with riches. Otherwise, in some cases, that's why it may seem like we're laboring in vain. According to Haggai 1:6, it says that we could be putting our money in a bag with holes, you know, and you could just be striving for riches. You may never obtain it, you know, and then the Lord's just allowing you to put your money in a bag with holes, and maybe that's one reason why you don't get the needs met that you have. And we also see in that Christ addressed this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. He tells them, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he also tells them in verses 31 through 33, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, if we get our focus right, it's amazing how easily our needs will be met. You know, I mean, we lots of times we say, well, if only my needs were met, then I will serve God, or then I will do this or do that, you know, but we have it all backwards. You know, some people say, well, if I can pay my bills, then I'll tithe, you know. Well, according to the Bible, that's backwards. You give God what's his, you do what you're supposed to do, and trust God to take care of the rest. He knows what we need. You know, we think we know what we need, but all too often, what we think we need and what God knows we need are two different things. Sometimes, all too often, we labor tirelessly in vain when our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need and he just tells us to seek him first. To seek the gold tried in a fire. I believe he's talking about the riches found in Christ Jesus. You know, we have everything we need. Not only do I see they are unprofitable in their efforts, but also I see they are unclean in their appearance. Verse 17, at the end of verse 17, he says that they're naked. Verse 18, he's telling them to buy white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do appear. You know, the Laodiceans, not only were they known for their great wealth and their banking systems, but they were also known for their woolen cloth, for their clothing. See, I believe that the Lord's putting his finger on all the things that the Laodiceans think that they're great with, and he's telling them, you're not as great as you think you are. You know, all this wealth that you think you have, you're spiritually bankrupt. This woolen cloth, this clothing that you have, you're spiritually naked. You know, maybe we think that we have just the right suit on, maybe even wearing a white shirt like I am and dressed just right. But before a holy God, we're spiritually naked. Christ tells us to get white raiment from him. In Romans 13, verse 14, we're told, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And how do we cover our spiritual nakedness? Well, like I said, he tells us to get white raiment from him. And how are we to be cleansed? We know Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, it asks the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I believe that the Lord is talking about purifying ourselves, putting on his white raiment, his holiness. Not only do I see that they are unprofitable in their efforts and they are unclean in their appearance, but also they are unknowing of their condition. He brings up their vision. Another thing that Laodicea was known for was this tablet that could be crushed into a powder and mixed with water and create a paste out of it. And some said that it was believed to have restored eyesight and cure some types of blindness. So what is he saying? Medically, you think that you know how to cure your eyesight, but you're spiritually blind. You know, he's taking all the areas that they view as their greatnesses, and he's telling them, you're falling so short. Materially, physically speaking, you have what you think you need, but spiritually, you're bankrupt, you're naked, and you're blind. What causes spiritual blindness? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. The Bible says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. There's our word, blind. And cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, I wonder how often I gave an illustration in a class today about how one thing that I really do not like is trying to find my way around in the dark. You know, I'll walk around, and I find myself doing that either if I'm staying up late studying or maybe getting up early in the morning studying. I have four children I don't want to wake, and I have a wife I don't want to wake. And so sometimes you leave the lights off. And it's even worse if you're walking in an area that you're in strange surroundings, you don't know where anything is. But when you're in your own home, you figure that you know your way around pretty well. But when you have four children, they can sometimes strategically place things in certain areas that you feel like you're in a strange place pretty quick. And next thing you know, you're tripping over it, you're stubbing your toe on it. I don't like the feeling of walking in darkness. I don't know, is there anybody here that likes walking in darkness? You know, I don't like it when you're outside. You don't know if you're going to step in a hole or fall in a ditch or anything like that, you know, and somebody might not find you till morning or the next day, you know. So I really don't like walking in darkness, but that's talking in the physical sense. But how often do we walk in spiritual darkness, you know? I mean, we know that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, but how often do we let that slip in our lives where we're not walking with the illumination of God's word in our spiritual life? And just as we don't like to walk in physical darkness, do we view walking in spiritual darkness in the same way? Or are we more concerned about having a light to see where we can walk, physically speaking? And so we see that the Lord, I mean, he puts his finger right on the sore spot of the city. Their poor water system. And he likens the Christians in the church to that same water system. And then he points out all the areas that they believe that they're so great in, their great wealth and their clothing and then even their medicines. They were notorious for their school of medicines, their medical school. And he puts his finger on all those things and says, you're spiritually bankrupt, you're spiritually naked, and you're spiritually blind. But I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I serve such a gracious and a merciful God. That even if we find ourselves in this situation and letting certain areas of our life slip and find ourselves backslidden and realize that we need to get back on track, that we have not been putting the priority of God's word in our life, that he so kindly comes and as a loving heavenly Father, as we read in verse 18, he gives us the cures. But in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. You know, you would think that the way that the Lord has described the Christians in Laodicea, that he'd just be ready to be done with them. You know, but aren't you grateful that we serve a gracious and merciful and loving God? That even after behavior like this, he's willing to have them repent. He's willing to stand outside the door and knock and want to have sweet fellowship with us again. So we've seen the requisites for being lukewarm. We've seen We've seen the repulsiveness for being lukewarm. Now I'd like to see the repentance for being lukewarm. We've already looked at the cures that the Lord gives us, that we're to seek His riches, we're to seek His purity, we're to seek His vision with the gold, the white raiment, and the eye salve. But next I'd like to look at the correction from our Lord in verse 19, where He says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." I see that he rebukes us. He rebukes us to get our attention. But then not only does He just get our attention, but then he chastens us. He wants to change our direction. You know, and I'm just grateful for the times where the Lord points out areas of my life through the Scripture that I need to change. You know, if He didn't love me, He'd just let me keep on going and going my own way and make an even bigger disaster out of my life. But because He loves us so much, He will rebuke us. He'll get our attention. He'll try to stop us. But not just that, but then He tells us the right way to go, too. What good is it to be rebuked about something if you have no idea what to do to make it better, you know, or what right direction to go? It's not good just to stop somebody, but you got to tell them which way they need to go. Not only do I see the correction from our Lord, but I see the cordiality from our Lord. As I said before, what a gracious and merciful God we serve that would even desire our fellowship after behavior like this and being repulsive like this. When He likens you to a lukewarm water that He'd want to spew out of His mouth, yet now He'd want to have fellowship with us. I don't know about you, but that just baffles me, you know. I look at my life in areas that I've messed up and I just figured that the Lord would have been done with me a long time ago, but He's so gracious and He just keeps prodding us along and keeps changing our direction and rebuking us where we're wrong. He's so patient and long-suffering with us. I see the request for fellowship. He stands at the door and knocks. You know, and just thinking about that, He doesn't force anything upon us, you know. I mean, His fellowship, He desires to have it, but He's going to wait. He's going to wait for us. He's not going to force us to do anything. He's going to stand outside the door and knock. But also, I see the restoration of fellowship, where He says, "I will come into Him and sup with Him, and He with me." And you just have that picture in your mind. You know, when you invite somebody over for supper at your house, I mean, you plan to have good fellowship with that person. You know, usually you don't invite people over to your house that you don't want to be around. I don't know about you, but now I know we do it for the college students because we have to. No, I'm just kidding about that. No, we want to have fellowship with you guys, some of you, except for Jane Lee. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking about that. No, I mean, you invite people over to your house that you want to have fellowship with, you know, that you want to eat with. And I'm just so thankful that, I mean, that the Lord wants to have sweet fellowship with us. And just to think that that we could go on in a behavior like this when He's so kindly, so graciously standing at the door knocking and just wanting to have sweet fellowship with us. And I know at this time as we're in search for a pastor and whatnot, I hope that's not the case. I hope it can't be said corporately as Maranatha Baptist Church that Christ is standing outside the doors of this church knocking, wanting to have sweet fellowship with us. You know, but maybe there's some here that individually you have not been in God's Word the way that you should. You know, you've been spiritually bankrupt at times and spiritually naked and spiritually blind and not even seeing your condition. You know, the thing about being spiritually blind is that they don't even realize where they're at. They can't see their condition apart from looking into God's Word and seeing exactly where you're at. You can't see your condition. You'd be spiritually blind. It's only by the light of God's Word that we can actually see who we are and where we need to change. And I hope that is not the case here. You know, but if it is, you know, there's... we need to repent. We need to come back to the Lord. We need to see the areas that we've been wrong and correct that so that way we don't have Christ standing outside our door knocking, wanting to have sweet fellowship with us. And so this is what the Lord has laid on my heart. I hope it's been a help to you all this evening.